Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to Gamertag Radio, episode 758. This is your host, Danny, and joining me for this episode of Gamertag, co-host of the show, we got Pete in the house.
What up? Apologies, technical difficulties, all my fault. PC Master Race had some issues. It's been a couple of days, and I finally got all my issues sorted out. It's what happens when you deal with PC Master Race. Totally my fault. I did have some technical hardware issues that I had to overcome. CPU cooler had to be replaced, but the workstation, the environment is back to normal, running better than ever. I'm good to go. I'm Gucci. Let's do it.
All right. Paris is not going to be joining us. Remember in the last episode, he said that, you know, during the week he can't record due to work for a couple of weeks because, you know, he just started the new job and everything. But he's definitely going to be here on the next episode of Gamertag Radio. Make sure to tune in and shout out to Paris, man. All right. Make sure to go to GamertagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback. Also, you can check us out different podcast platforms. You can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and other podcast directories. Make sure to subscribe, follow us, post a review, share with your friends, family members, and so on. Help us out so we can climb the charts. All right. By the way, a couple weeks, man, E3 is coming up very, very, very soon. So that means for during the month of May, we're going to have special episodes of Miss Leo.
You hear me?
So, Pete, the next episode, we're going to have our first prediction, E3 prediction, coming up on the next episode. So make sure to write down all your predictions because we're going to have a great, great conversation about all this, man. So hope you're ready. I just haven't decided which company we should go first. It has to be one of the big threes.
Does it?
It could be, you know.
We've got plenty of time, though. We got plenty of shows to go, like, in between from here till June. Actually, I got to buy my flight going out to L.A., so I'm supposed to do it today. On the fence. I might drive down to Miami. I'm going to have to get the wife to drop me off first. But go down to Miami and fly out with you. Maybe the same flight. So I got to take a look at it. I might be doing that.
Okay, that's good.
But yeah, like I was saying, we got plenty of time. We got plenty of time between here and June. Although time does fly, right? So we
exactly that's what I'm
we're
saying.
Gonna blink our eyes. But you know what? It's done.
I think it's good to start early, and the reason why is the conversation. It's good. People hype. I'm hype for E3. You know, right now you probably are not hype right now, but I know once it gets closer to June, you're gonna feel it. You're gonna feel it. So, I mean, we could start small. We could start, you know, with third-party companies first. And then we end it with the big three. What you think? You think we should do it that way?
Actually, I think I'd like to end it with the big three. I want to start with the smaller studios. I don't know if we're going to say indie, but maybe start off with, like, EA, Ubisoft. Obviously, we can't throw out CDPR. CDPR, we already know what's going to come out. We can't say Rockstar because you already know what Rockstar is doing. But Take-Two/2K, those type, you know, let's go with the bigger third parties. And then we ended off with Nintendo, Microsoft, and Sony.
Yeah. The thing is, I'm afraid about that is the closer we get to E3, the more leaks we're probably going to see. And I'm afraid that that's going to happen. It's going to kind of mess up our whole E3 predictions. But let's see. Fingers crossed. I hope there's no leaks from now to the event, man. So, all right. So, let's do this. All right. By the way, Pete, look what I got today. I got this special package today, this envelope, which I'm going to show to you guys for those who are watching Twitch. But for those who are listening, it's an invitation to... You see this right here?
That's pretty fresh.
Yeah, it's pretty dope.
Is that paper? Or
it's metal.
Oh wow, how fancy.
Metal. Yeah, it's metal. So anyways, this is an invitation. This is from Activision Treyarch. It says, Activision and Treyarch invite you to the Call of Duty Black Ops 4 community review event May 17th, 2018. And of course, doors open at 9:15 and the keynote starts at 10 a.m., which I know definitely going to have a live stream of that, right? And I believe this place, Jet Center, Los Angeles, this is the same location where they had Destiny 2 event, the review event last year. Paris was there. And yeah, this is one entry per person. So I got mine. I think Paris probably has his too. And yeah, this is pretty cool. Really, really cool. I'm excited. Now, the reason why I'm a little bit excited about this because, you know, the rumor about the game not having single player. And I know we talked about Battle Royale. Of course, it's going to have the regular multiplayer because they need that in order to continue with the whole Call of Duty World League or esports. And also the majority of people where they play that game, they play the multiplayer.
Right.
But I think this event, they are probably going to reveal that new Battle Royale mode in order for them to show that. They probably have the regular multiplayer, which everybody knows that, right? But what do you think, Pete? You think, that's the rumor that's been going around, you know, and I know we've been getting emails, people saying that the sales is going to go down because of it. And I really doubt that. The majority of people, every time they buy Call of Duty, is because the multiplayer, though. You know what I'm saying? So,
yeah. Well, Call of Duty is one of those titles similar to like Madden and FIFA that are going to sell regardless, right?
Yeah.
It's almost sad to say that it's an automatic. And I think it was Marcus Beer that was on the show a couple of weeks ago. And he made mention that there's a handful of titles that are almost review proof or bulletproof from that perspective, because they're just going to sell. It's a given. It's a fact, right? It's like you need to do your taxes in April. You're going to breathe oxygen and you're eventually going to pass. You know, that's just, those are three absolutes. And as long as they continue to sell like gangbusters, it is what it is. My personal opinion, they're going to have to really come out the booth like guns blazing, no pun intended, and pretty much show me, someone who used to be a devoted Call of Duty fanboy, now I can't be bothered with it anymore. Unfortunately, they need to show me a reason, or give me a reason to want to go out and stop playing PUBG, stop playing God of War, stop playing other titles, and devote my time back into Call of Duty. Make it worthwhile. Why? Like, give me a reason why I need to go back. Don't give me the return to roots, because we heard that everybody drank the Kool-Aid at E3 and leading up to launch. And honestly, I can't speak for everyone, but from someone who cut their teeth on Call of Duty titles, it was a disappointment. Granted, you see world championships going on. Sales figures alone show that it hasn't really taken that much of a hit. But if you think about it, it has. There is a segment of the population that feels that it's not the same, and it's a shell of its former self. And as we've said with all titles that once held that great line and stature, give me a reason to come back. I can use it a perfect example, just in like another Activision title, Destiny. Destiny 1, I was all up in that. I was all about it. Now yeah. I'm not. Give me a reason to come back.
Now, my question to you, Pete, forget about the multiplayer and everything. Let's say they do announce this whole Battle Royale type game for Call of Duty series and stuff. Will you like to see this as a first-person Battle Royale or a third-person Battle Royale like PUBG and Fortnite?
See, that's where I think your naivete shows, because with at least on PUBG side, you're given the option to go third person or first person, and you have server access. granted, yes, you're playing predominantly on Xbox, so maybe I can't even speak because I don't know. I'm not familiar with the Xbox version because I rarely play it anymore. But
yeah,
I don't know if first person even an option now?
Yeah, it does. It's there. Okay. It's still there. But here's the thing. I feel comfortable playing that game third person instead of first person. I don't know about you, how you play on your PC, but third person, in my opinion, is where it's at for this type of game. So,
and
Call of Duty.
I would have to disagree with you on that. And again, this is all personal preference. You're going to want to third person. When it first came out, I was anti first person view. I was only, I'd rather stay third person. I want to be able to have the angle and the view and be able to rotate my camera. But after playing first person view, you're no longer worried about someone being able to get the jump on you because they're just angle peeking you. They're able to maneuver their camera around to see where you're at. It's either you're either in front of them and you have a view or you don't. There's no complaint or bones about it. It is what it is. Unfortunately, Fortnite doesn't have, if I'm not mistaken. And again, I'm not a Fortnite player, so I can't really say.
No, it doesn't. By the way, season four.
By the way, shout out to Epic. Season four did release. And after tonight, the new season for PUBG releases, because I think they're going as of this recording, they're doing maintenance now on the live servers, and then all the new updates will come out, weapon balance, etc. Honestly, I think if Activision wants to do it right, if Treyarch wants to do it right, let me confirm that. If Treyarch wants to do it right, I say that you give the player the option if they want to participate in third or first person view.
For both.
I don't think you should alienate a player base based on their preference. Give that choice to the player. Let them decide. And that's how you make those gains towards the player to want to come and check out if they are, which all the rumors are pointing to it. And considering it's the hot du jour flavor for gaming right now, I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mario versus Rabbids Battle Royale coming in the near future.
Oh, God. No, but I'm honestly excited. It's been a while since I've been to a Call of Duty event like that. You know, I'll always go to, XP and World League and stuff, but review event has been a while. Been a couple years, so I'm excited. And I think, sometimes change is good. I know a lot of people are probably worried about the changes that them removing the single player game in Call of Duty. But, sometimes, based on data, maybe they're seeing more people are just staying away with the whole single player, and people just play multiplayer more than the single player folks, So I can see why they're doing that, and experiment new things, man. Make us want to go back to Call of Duty. If it's the same thing every year, single player, multiplayer, and that's it, then of course people are gonna move on and play other games, man. So maybe this could be a great thing for Treyarch for adding this, adding Battle Royale, So maybe this is the reason why people go back and play Call of Duty. You never know. As long as they don't mess up with my zombies mode, I'm good.
So if anything, I know that, we'll never get that true access to all of those demographics and that data, that, which is probably the most important part. If you really talk, the business of data is huge.
Yeah.
I would love to hear or see what spawned that discussion and reasoning why. I could understand from a resource perspective, you have more people dedicated towards your multiplayer in order to make sure that it works day one. There's no day one patch required. You have ample time and ample resources to test every single available mode. And because they're now offering, hopefully, a battle royale mode, you have more resources to make that.
Yeah, of course. I agree.
As good as it can be, if not better. Because with all of the various flavors of, whether it's Fortnite, Player Unknown, Ring of Elysium, which is the Tencent China version, Escape from Tarkov, you have all these different iterations that you're going to have to battle. I think there's a rumor of Battlefield now developing one coming later this year. So you need to make yours stand out. And, you know, Epic obviously with Fortnite has their version that stands out, for, you know, and right now it's the king of Battle Royale games, but you got to come out and make it different, but at the same time, some form of familiarity so that those that are familiar or enjoy it, mm-hmm. some like myself or some of the people that are on our Discord server, shout out to all of them, you know, something that gives them a little bit of familiarity so they can go back to it and then they can go into me like, okay, yeah, I know how this kind of works out. I'm accustomed to this, but something that gives them a totally different experience outside of the Fortnites and all the other ones that are there.
I know you mentioned Discord, Pete. What's the Discord URL so people that are listening would like to join? And honestly, we're looking for more community members to join. You guys could exchange PSN IDs, right? The gamer tag and all that stuff, so you guys could play. And plus, we have a great conversation there on Discord. So join. It's totally free. You could use your phone, laptop, computer,
tablet.
You have the your tablet, of course. What's the URL?
discord.gg/GTR. That's discord.gg/GTR. And then there's supposed to be a Microsoft app coming out for your Xbox. So, you know, stay tuned for that as well. We talked about that a couple of shows ago. So yeah, man, Discord, definitely. Great community tool. Love it. And it's been amazing just seeing how our Discord server explodes. And now I've got like 15, 20 different Discord servers that I float back and forth all day long. And it's kind of been like my new website. You know, it's kind of, instead of going to the community forums and things like that, like we used to do back in the day, it's mm-hmm. the new thing. So it's a fantastic way to keep in touch and contact. For me, it's honestly, it's replaced the Instagram/Twitter/Facebook for, you know, for the most part. I mean, I still visit them, but not as much as I used to. Here. Now it's like I'm all day long, all over different Discord servers. It's great.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, we have listeners worldwide, and I think this is a great opportunity for us to just stay in touch and all that, you know. So, yeah, make sure to join and meet other GTR listeners worldwide from there, man. So. All right, Pete, have you watched the new Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer that just came out today?
I did. I wasn't able to watch it earlier this morning when it first launched, but I did. One of the first things I did when I got home from work today was popped on my couch, turned on the Xbox, or not the Xbox, the YouTube app on my TV, and let it blast on the sound system. And man. Not just from a visual perspective, but the sound was just fantastic. Yep. You know what it reminded me of at parts? Westworld.
Interesting.
I don't know why, but maybe, you know, it's that whole because we're in season two now, but it gave me that nostalgic feeling of first seeing. I was waiting for somebody to turn into a robot, to be honest. But yeah.
It looks so good, man. Look, if you're an owner of a PlayStation 4 Pro and an Xbox One X, because right now they don't have it. It's not going to be available yet for the PC. It's only going to be available for those two consoles first. Man, it looks so good, man. The past few days, I've been playing God of War on the regular PlayStation 4, just regular. I don't have the Pro. And shout out to Santa Monica Studios. Thank you for sending me the code. Man, look, I love The Witcher. I love God of War for the PlayStation 4, how it looks and everything. But man, this game, Red Dead Redemption, graphically looks top notch, man. It's up there.
So I have a question to ask. Because that was the first thing that popped up when I pressed play was the Sony PlayStation logo, right?
So, the marketing deal.
Yeah. Definitely. So obviously they got the marketing deal. They got exclusive content, and I can't recall if that's timed or if it's just going to be a purely exclusive content for the PlayStation. But is that something that you're going to go ahead What's your platform preference on that? Would you rather have it on Xbox or would you rather have it on PlayStation? And based on your answer, because obviously you've got the One X, so obviously you're going to get the 4K enhanced version of it. Would you go with Sony because of the exclusivity, and would you upgrade to the Pro to ensure you got the optimum version?
To tell you the truth, I think that this is just going to be a marketing deal. It's not like similar to like Destiny and Call of Duty. You get the first DLC available for the console, and then a month later Xbox. I really don't see it that way with this one. This is more of like Sony could show it on TV, and they'll have like their consoles, right? Their PlayStation 4 ad there. At E3, they probably will show a trailer, maybe. I'm not sure. Because typically, every year, Rockstar don't even bother going to E3. You know, so now, I know Far Cry 5, Sony also had a marketing deal with that game. So, every time we go to an event at Ubisoft, all the press events, it was always the PlayStation 4 Pro version that we always play. Now that I play that many times throughout the year, right, and also last year, now that we have the game available now on Xbox One X, the game looks better on Xbox One X. And remember, when we do an interview with a developer, the developer is not going to say, "Oh yeah, it looks better on this console." You know, they can't say that because, you know, politics, business, and all that stuff. But it looks really good on an Xbox One X. So personally, I think I'm going to stick with the Xbox One X. Now, I have a contact that they probably will send me also the PlayStation 4 version, because I would like to, you know, see how the difference is between the two. But I think the one that I'm going to get first is the Xbox One X version first, you know. And I know Pete, if you had an opportunity to get one of those two, you don't have the Pro and you don't have the X. Do you see any difference? Will you go? I mean, it's still going to look good no matter what. Which version?
Oh, no, I'm not discounting that. I know it's going to look good. And I know you mentioned the Far Cry 5 content. That was all that gave you was a baseball pack, which was a baseball outfit, a muscle car, and early access to an SMG in the game, right? So, yeah. But with regards to Red Dead Redemption,
nothing crazy big. Yeah.
With regards to Red Dead Redemption, from what I'm able to see, is that it's going to be something akin to how they did it with Destiny last season, right? With Destiny 1, where you got access to items early, like early access to content before it goes over to Xbox One, right? So in the case of like Destiny, it was like, you know, you got access to special exotic weapons that weren't available until 9-12 months after release of the game.
But see, let me ask you this.
Well, hold on. So let me finish up the rest of your questions, and you can follow that up. Go. I don't know if that will bear any meaning on the single player campaign or the single player experience, which is Red Dead Redemption, because that's going to last you a while. So similar to, a Far Cry 5 or The Witcher. You're going to get your 10-12 hours of enjoyment out of that. Oh, you know, that's not a question. That's a given. I think what they're going to do is something specific to multiplayer experience. So if they're doing something like that, honestly, I don't know if I'm jazzed or amped for something like, you know, Cowboys versus, you know, Indians or something like that. Cause I know that's what they did. You know, they did, was it cops versus robbers for GTA 5 online. And now they've got all the, you know, they've got the ongoing multiplayer, you know, experiences. So I'm thinking it's going to be something similar to that. Maybe, you know, some kind of an apologies if I use the Indians, you know, comment, but that's, you know, that's just the traditional Cowboys and Indians, you know, role play that children do and stuff like that.
I hope it's not like that, though.
I think, but
you know, knowing Rockstar, they probably will do that.
You have to think in generalities. So when you think of the Wild West, it was something like, it was, you know, maybe cowboys or the sheriffs, versus, you know, bandits or something like that, you know, where something that reinforces or supports multiplayer action, right? So who knows? We could see a battle royale, people running, you know, riding on horses, trying to avoid the train, people on the train shooting Gatling guns at people. That would be super dope and cool. And if they do something like that, I'm all for it. I'll wait for it to come up on PC because that's where I will be. But I don't know. Right now I'm on the 1S and I see the difference between that and the 1X or the 1S and the 1. I don't have a 1X, so I can't say. Playing God of War, I was just playing it up like 10-15 minutes until before we went live. And I'm kind of getting the itch to try to upgrade it, to want to upgrade it, to get the pro, to see what the difference is visually. And that will help support or reinforce that Red Dead Redemption decision, right? Red Dead is one of those titles that will make me want to double dip, no lie. You know what I mean? I will double dip in something like that. I mean, hell, I double dipped in Destiny too, you know? Mm-hmm. So I don't see why not. I wouldn't be against it.
Yeah, I think the game is going to sell a lot. I personally think maybe the PlayStation 4 version is going to sell more, in my opinion.
Well, you've got a much bigger install base, so I think just by the math, I think it's easier to assume. We can't tell because we don't have the time stone. You know, we can't go into the future, but
yeah.
I think it's safe to assume that PlayStation is going to have the higher sales unit number based on the support, based on the existing install base. You got 75 million PlayStation owners waiting for this versus, and I don't remember the number, I think maybe 35 million or 30 to 35 million of the Xbox One. That's a large gap.
But it's beyond that. I think it's more of, when I say marketing deals, companies, like, okay, for those that play Destiny and buy Destiny, people are always going to see that game as a PlayStation game. Like the regular folks, right? The casual folks that go to the store, they don't see Destiny as like an Xbox game, which is available for the Xbox, right? But mentally, they'll be like, oh, it's a PlayStation game. And the reason is because of the marketing deals. When you see all these ads all over the place, PlayStation 4, people automatically is going to think, oh, it's a PlayStation game. You know what I'm saying? Now, us, we know that it's available on both consoles, right? So I think it's going to happen the same thing with Red Dead Redemption. You know, back in the days, Grand Theft Auto, to me, that was a PlayStation game to me before it was available on Xbox. Still to this day, I think that game sold more on the PlayStation version than the Xbox because of that. Why do you think Xbox put so much money on Grand Theft Auto 4 to have that marketing deal plus the DLC and everything? Mm-hmm. It's because they know that a lot of people will buy the PlayStation version, and for them to have that exclusive for like the first year, right? That helped the game to sell more and the 360 to sell even more because of that. You know what I'm saying? But I think this is gonna help the PlayStation 4 version is gonna sell a lot, man. I think, man. You know, so just want to say that very quick, but oh, we have a couple other topics here, but we're going to take a short break right now. And once we come back, you know, we have a couple topics about Michael Pachter. He's always doing all these interviews. We're going to talk about what he had to say about that. You know, it's all E3 hype going on right now. And of course, we have also fan mail. So we'll be right back after this.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, so we're back here, Gamertag Radio, episode 758. And joining me, of course, is Pete. And we talked about, you know, Red Dead and also Call of Duty. But let's talk about this other game that, according to Michael Pachter, shout out to Michael Pachter, this is kind of crazy in my opinion, but I'm curious to see what Pete has to say about this. Michael Pachter says that Crackdown 3 could drive Xbox One sales. I don't know how I feel about that, man. I don't know. I think the only game that maybe got people to buy the console was the first Crackdown. And the reason why was because that demo that they had of Halo. That's the only thing I could come up with. But honestly, I've never heard people out there. Maybe I'm wrong. Please, any listeners, let me know. If Xbox announced this game, right? They already announced this, Crackdown 3. Is that going to motivate you to buy an Xbox One? I don't know. According to Michael Pachter, it says that it's going to help Microsoft. He also says this, Pete. He says, I would much rather play Crackdown 3 than Halo 6 or Gears 5. Wow. Your thoughts?
That's a bold statement, Cotton. I'm sorry. Pachter, I love you. Your Scotch knowledge is one that I can only hope to get close to attaining at one point in time. But I think I was a little strong. You know, and again, this is subjective. It's personal preference at this point. So. If Pachter wants to, you know, has a better preference towards a State of Decay 2 or Crackdown 3 versus a Gears 5 or Halo 6, that's his decision. And you know what? It's somewhat warranted because the same concerns we had with Assassin's Creed and all those and Call of Duty is right up in there. When you start to have that franchise fatigue, you tend to steer towards other titles that maybe don't have as much shine or maybe should get the shine more in your personal opinion. I will say for myself, I disagree with this, but again, I can't tell Pachter he's wrong. You know, if he's looking forward to Crackdown 3 more than any of those other titles, you know, more power to him. That's up to him. What we played at E3 last year at the media showcase was cool and all, but I don't know if it was enough.
I don't know if it was enough
to capture that same energy that the first one came out with and the second one tried to do. Everybody remembers their first, right? And so when it comes out as the next iteration as 3, it has to be that much better. And thankfully they went back and said, you know what, we're going to pull this back and relaunch this later on because we've listened to feedback, whether good or bad, internal or external, we've heard the feedback. And right now their inventory is lackluster. Right. And what they launch has to be better than good because their inventory coming out is less than what they should be.
See, I mean, we're going to have another conversation about another topic about the exclusives and all that stuff, which also was from Michael Pachter. But he says this in the interview with Game Bolt. He says, Crackdown is an amazing series, and if Crackdown 3 is good, it's going to drive console sales. He's also said that it's a really good franchise, but then again, it's not for everyone, super hard, but it's a great game experience, and I think it would do well. I think State of Decay are the things I'm looking forward to the most on the Xbox. I'm a fan of Halo and Gears, but Gears 5 and Halo 6... Okay, I would rather much play Crackdown 3 and State of Decay 2. But here's the thing. When the first time I played Sea of Thieves at E3, I was like, wow, this game is fun. With Crackdown, when we got to play last year, I was like, it's cool. It just needs work. Like, I had fun, right? But it wasn't like, wow, I can't play that. I can't wait to play this, you know? So hopefully now, you know, because the game got delayed now for a couple months, and I believe it's going to come out sometime this year. I think August, in my opinion, but whatever. Maybe we'll see. We'll see the things that the changes they made for the, you know, the because it got delayed and everything. But I think it's a good game, but it's not going to it's not going to get everybody to buy an Xbox One. Now, if it's available for Game Pass, no brainer. That's smart. That's a smart move right there, man. You're not wasting a lot of money. You're only paying $10 a month. And it's the same thing that I was watching Complex. They have a new show. For those who know, it's a hip-hop website and all that stuff. Lifestyle and all that stuff, right? Fashion. So Peter Wurzelberg, he's on Hot 97, also WWE Network and all that stuff. He was having a panel with a bunch of journalists about the music industry, you know, about music from back then and back now and all that stuff. So one of the things that Miss Info, my homie Miss Info, she said this during the interview. She said, look, right now we're in the best time in music because you have, with $10, you go way back in the days to listen to all your favorite music and you can listen to the music of now. I think now, with the same thing with gaming, when things are going to change now with, you know, PlayStation Now and now with Game Pass, and hopefully Nintendo announces something like this. Dude, this is the best time to be a gamer right now because all you have to pay is just $9.99, maybe a little bit more for PlayStation Now. I'm not sure, but you pay that and you get all types of old games and new ones, especially the ones that's available the same day at the store. Dude, that's no brainer, man. Go that route. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if you're still continuing using Game Pass P or not, but
I canceled it.
Okay, that's fine.
I canceled it, and I think I'm going to do that moving forward. I'm going to only use it as my entry level into a title that I'm uncertain about, right? So a game like State of Decay 2, I don't know if it's worth the full $60, and I'd much rather throw $10 at it as a 30-day trial bonus to check it out.
State of Decay. Wait. You got it wrong. State of Decay 2 is not $60. It's $29. I think it's $30.
Honestly, I'd much rather spend $10 than $30.
Hey, that's fine.
You know,
cheapo.
Yeah. Well, think about it. Would you rather, let's throw it right back at you though. Would you rather pay $10 than $30 on a title?
Now, I'm in a different case, OP.
Right. Take your history with Microsoft and Xbox and a former MVP status. Put yourself in the shoes of Johnny Pena. You know,
I will go with the $9.99.
Absolutely. All day. And you can turn it on and off at will. So you could turn it off, do your $10. And if there's not another Microsoft exclusive title that you don't have to pay or you don't want to play or you're not curious about for the next 3 to 6 months until after E3 launches or whatever, hey, you back off and then you play whatever else. But
now it's possible this is going to happen because I think that now with whole Game Pass, I can see Microsoft doing some crazy, crazy announcements at E3 and everything. But don't be surprised. I mean, I know I said that Crackdown might be coming out in August, but man, don't be surprised if they said the game is available now, like the day of the freaking conference, of the press conference. That's possible too, man. Or maybe that later that week or something like that, right? And surprise everyone. That's possible too, man. You know what, Game Pass, dude, you're not losing much, man. $10 a month and you get all these old games plus the new ones. I think it's dope as hell. All right, but let's go with the next topic now. Pete, this is another topic great conversation during the interview that Pactor said. This is a curious, I'm very curious about this to see what you have to say about this. But he says that consoles exclusives don't matter like they used to. From Michael Pactor. I have to disagree with that statement because look at the Switch. Last year they had exclusive games plus indies and regular, a couple third party games, right? But the majority of stuff that they came out, the Nintendo came out last year, was all, the majority I think was exclusives, right? From Nintendo, more than third party support, and it helped sell the Switch. PlayStation, I think to me, when both systems came out with Xbox and PlayStation, the reason why more people bought the PlayStation was because it was cheaper than the Xbox One, right? The first couple years, yeah, it was lacking with exclusives, but now they're coming hard with exclusives. So more people are buying the console, buying PlayStation 4 because of the exclusives, like games like God of War, Spider-Man, and so on. So for him, for Michael Pachter, it says that console exclusives doesn't matter like they used to. That's, I don't know.
That's a bold statement, Cotton. See how that plays out.
Let me tell you. Actually, today I was going back and forth with Michael Pachter because, you know, he invited us to go to his party at E3 and stuff. So, you know, every year we have him on the show during E3. But, man, I got to talk to him. Like, this is kind of crazy for him to say that, man. Bald. This is bald.
No, it's – I don't want to say crazy talk, right? But
– he's the reason, though, he said, though. He's the reason why. He says – these things are so well established by now that I don't think that you need a tremendous first party support anymore. I think he meant like the lifetime of the console. Like you're going to stick with your PlayStation, you're going to stick with your Xbox or your Switch. That part I understand. And then he said, I'm not even sure first party support is why most people buy PlayStation consoles.
I think right there, that might have been one of those comments where he says it. And then he realizes, shit, damn it, that came out. You know what I mean? And the reason I say that is because the only reason I have a PlayStation 4 sitting to my left is because of Uncharted, is because of Horizon Zero Dawn, is because of God of War. Some people may have gravitated towards that, and Paris, well, unfortunately, he's not on the show to, you know, to first tell me don't speak for him, but it's true. The only reason he went to PlayStation was because of the exclusive content that he got for Destiny. The only reason I got it is because of the exclusive content I got from a single player perspective. Yes, in the last 18 to 24 months, my focus has waxed and waned. It's gone towards where most of the exclusives were. Hell, I will throw PUBG right there, right in the mix. I'm playing right now primarily on PC because PUBG is, you know, on PC is the flavor du jour, is the platform of choice for that title. But people go where you're to, you know, people decide on their platforms, in my personal opinion, basically why, you know, basically based on exclusivity, and then secondarily, you know, is there more people or where their friends go? Right. I still have the Xbox One. Hell, I was playing Far Cry 5 the other day with my friend, you know, and the reason I have that is because I still have friends over there that they don't play PC. They play a little bit on PlayStation, but they primarily play on Xbox. So that's why I still have an Xbox. But for the most part, I have to disagree. I'm sorry. I think Pachter was wrong.
Well, he also said this. He said Pachter suggests that Microsoft is fine. Microsoft has been heavily criticized recently for the lack of Xbox One exclusives, you know, especially ever since the cancellation of Scalebound. But he also suggests that Microsoft first-party games are not poor quality, but its game appeal to, on a quote, smaller markets, right? And it don't have the broad appeal that a Sony or a Nintendo game has. Which is true, I think that Microsoft is doing, dude, they're doing fine. It's selling a lot of consoles, selling a lot of games, Xbox Live and all this stuff. They're making money. The gaming division of Microsoft is doing really, really good. I think the reason why people are being so critical about this is because as an owner, if I see Nintendo having all these games and PlayStation having all these first-party games, where is Microsoft? Where is Xbox? That's the problem. So, you know, I can see where Microsoft, where Michael Pachter is coming from too. You know what I'm saying? So, let's see what else he says about here. I think that's about it. But yeah, it's wow. Two strong, bold statements here from the homie Michael Pachter. So yeah, shout him out. Make sure to hit him up on Twitter if you disagree, or maybe you agree. Hey, who knows? All right, so we have voicemails here. Fan mail. P, you ready for fan mail?
Yeah, give me one second. Let me line them up.
All right, so here goes fan mail.
Fan mail at gamertagradio.com.
All right. While P is setting up here, remember that Miss Leo Predictions is coming out very soon. I would like to do it when Paris is here so all of us could have our predictions ready and all that stuff, you know? So, yeah, stay tuned. It's going to be very exciting. All right,
here we go. I have not gone through them, so...
That's fine. Let's go.
I'm playing them blind, so here we go. Voicemail number one.
All right.
Hi, GTR. This is Mike, a.k.a. Trashback, calling from England. I wanted to pick up on a conversation that Paris was having last week about Destiny 2 and specifically that they've got probably one more chance to salvage Destiny before they just have to kind of move on or forget about it. And it got me thinking about PR in general. And being that so many things launch to negative reviews and feedback, it made me think, well, have there been any products in recent years that you can think of, or games, where the fortunes of that game or product have been flipped following continued support? And I don't mean, you know, the PS3 going to PS4. Obviously, that's now a huge success. I mean, within the same couple of years for that same product, having launched to real negativity, can you think of anything that's actually flipped 180 and has become huge success? Because I can't think of anything. And it kind of makes me think, well, why do these companies continue to kind of waste so many millions and millions of dollars or pounds when the evidence seems to show that there is no salvaging whatever the game or product might be? Once the negativity is out there, it seems that people make their mind up almost instantly. I'd love to hear a conversation on what you guys think about that, because clearly there's investment made and they need to kind of support it, I guess, but surely it'd be easier to look at the evidence and think, well, let's cut our losses and move on to the next one. Anyway, thanks, guys. Keep up the good work, and I'll call again soon. Be seeing you.
So I was thinking about this. I know recently maybe The Division, right? That's like the most recent one I can think of. But let me go back. Do you remember, Pete, when Ubisoft showed Assassin's Creed for the first time at E3? I think it was the Microsoft press conference. I remember being there, and the game, like, I think the character got stuck. It was like very buggy demo, super buggy, and people were laughing, the crowd, right? That was a very whack presentation, in my opinion, to show a brand new IP coming out, right? Which everybody was excited for, right? And they got to see that. I was kind of like, I don't know, right? So after the game released, it became big, right? So it was a disaster in the beginning, but then they learned from the mistakes and everything and started getting more press to check out the game before it came out. And, it got great reviews, and look now, Assassin's Creed years later, right? That's one. Another game, in my opinion, that I felt like it was very, very boring, the presentation, everything too, at E3, was Alan Wake. I didn't really like the presentation. I was like, man, this might be a failure, man. This is, I don't know, this doesn't look right. I found it super boring. The game came out, and boom. It became one of my favorite games for the Xbox 360. So that's from the presentation side. Now, a game like The Division, Pete, you know, you guys got to see this a couple times early. And also we got to see it at E3 also early. But that game was getting a big buzz. Then the game came out and there was a lot of negative feedback because there was no... there was no extra content after you finish the game. So look at now, months later, they already been adding updates, and there's so much stuff to do in the game now that I don't know where to go. I'm like confused. You know what I'm saying? So I think those are the games that I could think of right now, unless, Pete, you have anything else that is not the division or something else?
No, the division, I think, is the reigning champ when you think of something like that. I still wish that, you know, there was the opportunity for me to go out there and be on my smartphone or be on my tablet and play the drone character or play the role of the drone in the division. You know, totally mobile application version, but still be able to provide some kind of tangible experience within the game alongside those that are, whether they're playing on PC or Xbox or PlayStation. I think that was a great idea in theory, but application turned out to be a lot more difficult than what they expected. Especially, I think maybe if crossplay was enabled, and I think that might have been their initial foray or try to or attempt to get into that crossplay space. Because in that respect, then yeah, you've got mobile plus platform. You know, we'll use that. You know, because I don't want to discern between Xbox, PlayStation, or PC. I think if they would have gone something like that, I think it would have been fantastic. Again, early foray into cross-platform, great opportunity. I think it might have been a little too early to attempt, but hey, it doesn't hurt to always be that initial innovator, because then it starts sowing the seeds of change. And who knows, maybe this next iteration, maybe Division 2 coming out, and I'm saying it in 19 or 20, Danny, I know you're going to disagree with me. With all of the conversation towards cross-platform, maybe now is when Ubisoft says, you know what, we showed this in Division 1 early. It didn't work out because the timing wasn't right. Now the timing might be right, because they've got, you know, now you've got 4G. Hell, you've got the recent T-Mobile / Sprint merger, which after my meeting today at work, that starts to roll out early 2019. Perfect opportunity to start using 5G networks for that kind of opportunity, because right there, you're talking sub 1 millisecond latency. So now you can be on a mobile device and you can play in real time with people on Xbox or PlayStation or PC, because your signal supports that type of connection. So you're not at a disadvantage. You might be playing a more support role because you're playing a drone, highlighting characters and stuff like that, but you're able to support your players in real time. And I think this might be, hey, who knows? Maybe this is a Miss Leo moment here. You know, but maybe Division 2 sees that opportunity that they missed in Division 1 because the timing wasn't right, but it is for Division 2. Who knows? I could be right. I could be wrong.
Now, let me ask you this, and please, listeners, tell me if I'm wrong or not, but when Rainbow Six came out, I think there was a lot of negative feedback because there was not a lot of things to do in the game. And look, throughout a couple years, they've been adding so much content. There's a lot of things you could do in the game. But when they first launched for $60 at that time, am I right, P? Or, I mean, I can't remember, but I know there was a lot of negative feedback about that game when it came out. Yeah?
From Paris, absolutely. From someone like myself, who really dove in hard, I've got the watch, I got the backpack to prove it. Yeah, I'm not gonna even sugarcoat it. Yeah, they were lacking. They were lacking in content for that 3 to 9 month experience post launch. Because the first month or two, you know, you still have a lot of players putting in time, putting in time to get towards, you know, a higher gear score and stuff like that. But it wasn't until later on that Ubisoft was able to finally get all the feedback, good and bad, and start iterating on it in a more positive light. Siege is another perfect example of that. Siege came out, it was good. I wouldn't say that it fell off, but that was one of those games where it started off and just started to ramp up. Whereas Division started high, hit that low point, but then started really peaking once their developers started iterating towards changes that made the game experience better. Started doing the underground, started doing world tiers, things like that really changed the game for them. Survival mode, which is still phenomenal, fun experience, global events, things like that, things that gave people a reason to grind, like the masks in global events. Those are things that people, you know, will stop what they're currently playing to jump back in and start giving that game another life and another breath to jump on. So things like that are what they need to do. And you know, we've been saying this for a long time. Ubisoft has that template of constantly evolving services for their titles. So it's not, you're not a one and done. Hell, look at games like For Honor, you know, that's another example. You know, it's a game that launched, albeit maybe a little, you know, there was a lot of trepidation jumping into a new IP like that, but now it's got that constantly evolving season cycle that you're seeing with a lot of games. Hell, Epic is another example that uses that. You know, PUBG as well uses those cycles where they constantly iterate and give you more updates and more changes and more things and use the feedback that they get from their player base to constantly make it better. So, you know, hopefully they don't make the Destiny roll and make the mistake and break the fundamental fun of the game or break the fundamental experience that gamers were expecting for the next iteration. Time will tell.
Yeah, great question, because, you know, I think we answer it. I mean, look, anybody is listening, if you know any games that started pretty bad at first and then it became a huge success, let us know. Email us, send us voicemails, go to speakpipe.com/gamertagradio. You could also leave a message there or give us a call, 786-273-7GTR. That's 786-273-7GTR. All right, next voicemail, Pete.
I'm going to go with voicemail 3 because I don't want to do the 2-minute video, 2-minute audios.
Okay, that's fine.
I'm going to jump around here.
Hey, what's going on, Gamer Tag Radio? Man, I hope you brothers are doing great. This is Keon calling from Baltimore. I just finished listening to the latest episode, Danny, with you and Pete on that episode. And I got to say, Danny, I am with you, brother. I would absolutely love to see another Jet Set Radio or Jet Grind Radio, whatever you want to call it. That would be amazing. And I also am with you on Microsoft doing something with Sega. And what made me think about this a little more, now, of course, this is all just my opinion. I could be shooting blanks at the wall. But I'm just thinking, we just found out that the Games with Gold this month have Vanquish in it, and it has Streets of Rage in it, which are two Sega IPs, which made me think, it was a rumor. And of course, it was just that, a big rumor that there was a Vanquish 2 that was allegedly supposed to be coming out on the Xbox One. Of course, it's rumors, nobody knows, but you do have Vanquish in that Games with Gold lineup. So maybe they have something with Sega. I guess we will see in, you know, the next 60 days or so. Less time than that. But anyway, I'm out of here. But one more thing, Danny. I have to agree with Pete. I think that Ori and the Will of the Wisp, it would be great for that game to come out in the last part of the summer and not so much in the fall. It's going to get slaughtered, brother. But anyway, this message has been way too long. Thank you guys for all of the hard work and dedication. You guys are awesome, and I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
I love Keon.
Shout out to Keon. He calls all the time, and it's hard for me to pick, because he calls a lot, so I have to pick like the right voicemails. But shout out to him, man, for always calling us. Now, I'm telling you, man, something is telling me that I think the relationship between Microsoft and Sega has been getting bigger and bigger lately. I think it was, actually, was it today or yesterday? I posted this on Discord. There is an unboxing video of the Duke controller, the Duke Xbox controller. If, for those that don't know, it's like one of those, the original Xbox controller from the OG Xbox that came out back in 2001. It was a very thick controller. The reason I like a lot about that controller is the analog sticks were super, super legit. Much better than the ones now, in my opinion. But I used to play that a lot for like Halo, first-person shooter games and stuff. So in the unboxing of that, of the video, they show the box, right, of the controller. And in the box, there's a lot of thank yous in there. There's like a long list of people that worked on the project or and so on. You know, they have Phil Spencer, Aaron Greenberg, other people. At the bottom, it said, from the developers of Halo and the developers of Jet Grind Radio Future. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. I have no idea why would they even shout out the developers of Jet Grind Radio Future, thanking them. I don't know, Pete. You tell me. If something is up, but don't be surprised. Either we might see maybe a remastered version or something from that game to come back. There's something going on between Sega and Microsoft lately that I can see it, man. Just recently, Panzer Dragoon just came out from the original Xbox, came out on Xbox One now. So we might see more titles, more old school titles. I think that will be cool for them to announce that they have a brand new Jet Set Radio for the console, or maybe a remaster or something, you know what I'm saying? So that's possible. But Keon, I'm going with this prediction, man. I'm going with this prediction all the way. That would be freaking dope. So all right, P, anything else? We have one more voicemail and then we wrap it up.
Hi guys, Devin here. With all the hype on Sea of Thieves, I know it's got a long way to go, but it seems to be pretty popular for Xbox and Microsoft. Do you think, in terms of Xbox bringing back old IP, that another potential route they could go would be an open world Crimson Skies? I remember playing this back on the original Xbox, and it was quite a lot of fun, especially when you played against other people. And just thought that this could be another great multiplayer direction for them, and something that's a bit unique in terms of what it offers compared to other games out there today. Love to know your thoughts. Love the show, and talk to you soon. Take care.
What do you think, Danny? I don't know.
Let me ask you this. Have you ever played Crimson Skies?
I think is that the one with the airplane?
The plane, yeah.
The red airplane, the bi-wing airplane. Okay, yes.
Game was phenomenal when it came out back in the days. Open world, I think that Microsoft has a lot of great first-party games from the past that they could easily bring it back for this generation. Easily. You know, hired some, you know, other developers to work on those games and so on. You know, open world like Sea of Thieves, I just don't see that. But maybe bring back Crimson Skies and have, like, you know, a single player story and maybe have, you know, multiplayer. But I just can't see an open world Crimson Skies. I don't know. Do you see that, Pete? Do you think it's possible to do that?
It'd be difficult to bring out something like that. I don't know if I just don't know. Open world in the air it might get monotonous. And it's the reason why you see games like, I think last couple of Call of Duties have had something similar to it, where it's very short spurts of the game have that, you know, Battlefront had it as well, where you're, you know, piloting TIE fighters and, or X-Wings or whatever. But when you have something open world where you're in the air constantly, it's really, really hard to stick to your narrative, especially when you can just fly around and avoid everything. I'd love to see something maybe akin to, like, maybe Perfect Dark. An open world, you open up the story a lot more. I know I somewhat disagreed with Paris a while back, but thinking more on it, Splinter Cell, a Splinter Cell open world adventure.
I could see that. I could see that.
You know, God, I'm never going to hear the end of this, but yes, Paris might have been right on that.
I could see that.
Something like that, I think, makes sense. I don't think open world fits for every title.
It's the same thing with Battle Royale, Pete. It's not every game supposed to have Battle Royale in it.
Right. But we've seen what open world does. It doesn't always work, but when it's done correctly, it can't. And at that point, it's a crapshoot. You know, you don't know until you try. And maybe that's what it needs, you know? Who knows? Maybe a more open world Crackdown 3 versus a sandbox experience within a specific city. I'm not going to say that's what they were working on, but that's a possibility. Maybe a Crackdown 3 Battle Royale is why they wanted to bring it back, because they wanted to try to add, you know, the same thing that everybody else is doing. Who knows?
Let me ask you this, Pete. Did you get to play, you got to play this game, Shadowrun, back in the days?
Yeah. Yeah. And God knows, if it was up to Chris Paladino, that game would have lived in infamy. That game would have lived forever.
That game wasn't that bad. I think it was a decent game. It was just very controversial back then, you know, because they were charging, I forgot how much it was. I think maybe it was $59.99. I can't remember. But it didn't have no single player game. It was just strictly multiplayer.
Right. And it was PC versus Xbox.
Yeah. But that was the first crossplay, in my opinion, I think, in the last generation. Yeah. It was like that. It was dope. I think it was really, really fun.
That was the first Play Anywhere. Let's not say crossplay, because there might have been others.
Play Anywhere, yeah.
Play Anywhere title title.
No, wait, hold up. It wasn't no Play Anywhere. It wasn't Play Anywhere.
It was PC versus Xbox. You could play those two together.
But Play Anywhere is more of like, hey, I'm playing Halo on my computer. Let me pause it. Stop. It's already saved. Oh, let me go on my Xbox and play on my TV.
Okay, I see what you mean.
That is more, but crossplay is more of, hey, I could play with friends from another console or another system or PC. That's to me is more crossplay. But yeah, I think that they could easily release that game, the return of Shadowrun, but I don't know if people will get excited or not.
Paladino would be excited for it, but I don't know. I'm sure there's a market for it. I'm sure there's a subreddit somewhere deep in the internet that of people that are excited for it. I just don't know if it warrants a full, you know, a full run of a development studio to support it. Who knows? You never know until you try it. And who knows? You could launch it now and it could explode.
Look, they could easily look. This is the three games, in my opinion, that Microsoft could easily announce, and the crowd will go nuts. Crimson Skies will be a good one. Mech Assault will be a pretty good one too. I was a huge, huge fan of that game. Mech Assault, oof, big time. Yeah, Perfect Dark. Bring back Banjo-Kazooie. Microsoft has the titles, man. They could easily bring all these old school games, bring it back. You know, it will help, man. It will help them big time. I think reading the tweets from Phil Spencer, he said that this E3, their focus is more about first party exclusives, supposedly. We'll see. But anything else, Pete?
No, I think that's it. I think we've gone for a good clip, and I think we're good to go. I know you're dying. I know you're dying over there.
That what?
I know you're struggling over there to stay awake.
Yeah, dude. For those who don't know, we went out with the family. And we were eating and drinking and all this stuff, and I ended my dinner with this big, humongous Oreo shake. And it had cookies. And, oh, my God. It was so huge. I even took a picture of it. And I posted it on like my Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. And everybody was like, oh, my God. I can't believe you're going to drink that. And I did. And I'm hurting right now. It was too much. And I haven't had shake in a long time because I've been cutting a lot of sugar for the past 2 years and stuff. So, yeah, I don't know why I did that. That was a done move. But anyways, everybody, head over to GamerTagRadio.com, post your comments and feedback, of course. You can also find us on Audio Boom And I'm going to give you more details about the film festival because, you know, our movie Gamertag Radio podcast story is going to be available there in New York City. And I would love for our listeners to go over there. Let's meet up and we need your support. Hopefully we could win. But yeah, just go. And it's in New York City. But details coming soon because I don't know the dates yet. When they're going to have it available and stuff. Also, you can find us on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and other podcast directors. Make sure to subscribe, post a review, share with your friends and family members. And yeah, I think that's about it, Pete. We're good?
Yep.
All right. Until next time, we're out. Peace. Thank you for listening to Gamertag Radio. If you'd like to donate and help us out for future events and more coverage and also better audio equipment, head over to donate.gamertagradio.com. That's donate.gamertagradio.com. Thank you.